Michigan now is to go back to virus control basics, things like social distancing and wearing masks. U.S. colleges are still debating whether or not to force students to get their vaccines before classes get back to normal in the fall. Universities including Rutgers, Brown, and Cornell recently told students they must get vaccinated. This is SRN News.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar, and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Ryan Vrack, Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding.
Quality, beauty, value, and more. JB Windows and Siding is what you're looking for.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. For a change, we have a few good days to look forward to. What a great way to start the brand new week with plenty of sunshine today. High temperature up to about 84. Clear skies, cool tonight, but not too cool. Overnight low 54. Tomorrow, we'll have just about the same weather as today. Lots of sunshine, high temperature in the low to mid 80s. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms return to the forecast on Wednesday. Wednesday's high in the upper 70s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Spring has sprung, so spring into savings at Brubaker with huge savings on cars, trucks, and SUVs. Rain or shine, you can buy online anytime at Brubaker.com.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Millbrook police have made an arrest in connection to a shooting last week. Police have charged 17-year-old Willick Jamal Milner with attempted murder and firing a gun into an occupied vehicle. The victim is in the hospital in critical condition. Some local school systems are no longer requiring masks in schools. Op City Schools and Andalusia City Schools are no longer requiring masks, but are strongly encouraging them. This comes after Governor KIV's statewide mask mandate ended last Friday. And the Alabama Department of Public Health says more than 2 million coronavirus vaccine doses have now been administered across the state. State health officials say more than 4,700 coronavirus cases have been confirmed in the last 2 weeks. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
I'm taking time to remind you about my good friend John Williams and the great folks at Mortgage Corporation of the South. They have helped me so much and my audience, several members of my audience, get new financing. Whether it's VA, FHA, or conventional loan, Mortgage Corporation of the South is your go-to new home or existing home financing destination. They've handled my personal home and did an outstanding job and saved me tons of money. So call John Williams and the gang at Mortgage Corporation of the South, 567-9000, and let them help you. Good credit, not such a good credit, that Mortgage Corporation of the South put you on the right side of lending. 567-9000, NMLS number 232-876, an equal housing lender.
The Harbor at Hickory Hill of Prattville is the first choice for assisted living and memory care in the River Region. The newly remodeled facility offers a lifestyle that promotes independence and the opportunity to live life to the fullest while creating a warm environment that feels like home. The residents are enjoying activities in the company of each other and have the attentive assistance of a caring, experienced team. Assistance is available for veterans who qualify. To learn more about the Harbor or to schedule a tour, call Christy Goodwin at 334-224-0150. Life is good at the Harbor.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, not quite. You have April Marie Fogle here filling in today. Keeping me company, Joey Clark.
How are you doing?
I am good. Okay, so I teased this, and then I got distracted with my immigration federal employee thing. So the Brooklyn Center Police, which is where the latest shooting was, is saying that the police-involved shooting was an accidental discharge, that the officer intended to tase him and instead shot him.
Oh, God.
What? What? I don't even have words. First off, okay, and this is where, to back up, anytime there is an aggressive use, an excessive use of force, I fully support, and I don't know any conservative who doesn't, fully support that being looked at either for criminal liability or job consequences, disciplinary action, anything like that, right? Because police aren't above the law. That if we have a separate set of rules for law enforcement officers than we do ordinary people, then it's, you can't live like that. So it looks like the law enforcement officer said she was going to be using a taser and then says, oh, I shot him. What in the world? So yes, that's probably going to be something that we hear a lot about. They're calling it an accidental discharge.
Hmm.
I don't know how you accidentally use a taser instead of a gun. Use a gun instead of a taser. They're different weights, different shapes. That seems like a pretty...
accidental discharge, yeah. Sounds like you accidentally shot and killed somebody.
Yeah. So, again, here's one of the frustrations with our news cycle, and I say this as somebody who's in news, right? The unrest, quote unrest, started immediately after. There were the misleading headlines over what happened. He was stopped for air fresheners and shot. Never mind the fact he ran. Never mind the fact he had warrants out. All of that. And now we're learning that the officer's saying that the unidentified officer intended to reach for a taser, mistakenly grabbed her service weapon and deployed a single bullet is what they're using the word deployed. I don't know about that. Both the chief and mayor declined to release officer's name at this time, but said that all parties' information will be released, quote, soon. At least 500 Minnesota National Guard were activated across the Twin Cities on Monday in support of Operation Safety Net during the trial of Derek Chauvin. Because here's the thing. People are saying if he is found not guilty, the officer involved in the Derek Chauvin case, the George Floyd case, were you, it's going to be riots and burnings and a mess all over again. I think it's going to be that either way. I do. I genuinely, and I believe that Minneapolis is geared up for that. They realize that this is going to happen. The question is, does it take hold in other cities again? And I don't believe it's as bad if he's found not guilty. But how do you go into this, you know, preparing for that? What do you do? Race relations in this nation, we have got to do better. It cannot be anger on both sides, frustration on both sides that end in no conversation. I'm watching as we as conservatives, and I even did this myself, started looking at critical race theory and the white fragility mindset. And if we're talking about how to have these conversations, if we're talking about the extremes of the conversations, we're not having the ones that are valuable. I'm going to say that again. If we are talking about how much we hate what the other side is saying, how they're saying we should approach the conversation, we're still not having a conversation. And I think the people who benefit from this, the people who buy $1.5 million houses, the people who exploit individuals and their anger and their frustration for policy incentives, I think those people are laughing all the way to the bank. And the rest of us and the true victims, we're the ones paying the price. The people, the issues that should be getting our attention aren't getting our attention. If I have to defend my children's classroom from having the crap taught, the crap that is critical race theory, then I'm not having a conversation about what should be taught. It's this incredible circle that that benefits, again, just those who wish to control the narrative. Speaking of the narrative, there was the Stanford College had a, they have a dorm, and the dorm did these like back fun friendly back to school exercises since colleges were coming back to their dorms. Mm-hmm. One of the dorm's themes was Harry Potter. And so they sorted you into your Harry Potter house, your Hogwarts house.
Right, they had the hat and everything.
They had the sorting hat and everything. We can't have nice things in this country.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, as of today, the staff has gotten together to condemn transphobic J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling is not transphobic, guys. She says that that men can't menstruate. That's what she defended somebody who said men can't menstruate, and now they're calling her transphobic. She says, she penned an incredible op-ed about how we minimize the experiences of both women and gays by taking sex out of it. As if, how can there be same-sex marriage, same-sex gender if sex isn't a thing? Mm-hmm. How do we keep women safe in domestic violence situations if men can get into the shelters? She made some really valid points. And now staff is condemning her. Gotcha. Cancel ya. Can't tolerate your other views. I hate people. Not you people. Not you listeners. I love you all. Randall's on the line. How goes it, Randall?
Hey, it's humans you hate, people you love. You know what I mean? Like, the human side of folks sometimes, it is what it is. I mean, that's why we're designed this way, I reckon. But as you're talking about that, you think it's going to burn either way, if you put these numbers together, they keep standing on 846 being how long he was on his neck. And that, he wasn't ever on his neck that long. Every tape I've watched, I've only got eight minutes and 10 seconds of the furthest that he was on his neck. But they would strive for 846. No matter which news you look up, even in the courtrooms today, they still hollering it. And that's when the first plane hit, the first Twin Towers. And you remember, there was a lot of fire involved, all right? Now, the second plane hit at 903. If you add, and these folks do numerical numbers of how they don't get all. If you add 9 plus 3, you get 12. There's 12 jurors right now that's about to decide when the second fire starts. And I think that there was a lady, Miss Jacqueline was on Greg's show, and she's saying that the defense that are throwing, you know what I mean, throwing softballs, like they're wanting him to be declared innocent. Like they're not trying to fight as hard as what she's saying, that she could even go on the evidence. And it's like they don't want to win. And this is what you said. I think they're getting ready to, it is what it is. I mean, they set them up to burn again. And where is this coming? How do you not know the weight of the gun and the taser? It's like you said, this is stemming from way back, like even at that Wendy's in Georgia. I mean, the same scenario. And then look how they're going to throw this softball up. No matter what, how does that not look bad? You know what I mean? That you shot somebody and you're going to say you meant the taser. That looks bad no matter what. And that's kind of like, I think they're kind of heating the fire up a little bit, stoking it. And when the jurors come back and say not guilty, and that's when you're going to see the rest of it. Because in the future, they don't need courtrooms. Just like, Joe, you know what I mean? Just like China's doing now. I mean, been through it. It'll go off social, and you ain't going to need to go to court because they'll take your money. That's what they want us to go to, Bitcoin, Joe. The way I look at it, they still can. They always know what you're worth. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have, and if you want to get bigger jobs, you got to put all your money in that, you know what I mean, or in that kind of situation, and you can't really move it. So it's almost, I think they want us to go to Bitcoin. It's like they're pushing us to it. Do you see it any other way? I mean, either one of y'all. I mean, do y'all see it a different way?
So you brought up like five things there, Randall. You had like five topics. We went from the Derek Chauvin trial to Bitcoin. Making my head spin. With a little bit of numerology thrown in the middle there.
Yes.
Okay, we are going to hit a quick break. Randall, you can hold tight. We're going to address these things on the flip side of this break, and I'm going to think through these three things we talked about so we can hit them on the other side. Stay tuned, everybody.
Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Where do you need to go for that special person? Dylan Wings. Leslie and Josh, they're wonderful people, but Josh the jeweler, he can repair jewelry, appraise jewelry, he can even create a brand new special custom piece of jewelry for that special person in your life. 119 Brown Springs Road, just off Atlanta Highway, you need to go see them. Coming from AUM, they're on the right-hand side. Leslie is a great shopper. Trying to find that special gift can be difficult, but not with Leslie. She will walk you through the store, find that special piece, wrap it up for you so she will be so, so very happy. Dylan Wings, 334-215-3669. Great place to go, great people, and guess what? They're listeners to the Dan Morris Show.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we know you have many choices when it comes to mortgages. Who do you call? You could call a credit union, a bank, or a 1-800 number lender. But we believe you should call Alabama Home Mortgage. And here's why. Alabama Home Mortgage is a locally owned mortgage company. We do mortgages. That's all we do, so we do it better.
They say you can't have your cake and eat it too. I disagree. You can have the best mortgage with the best rate with the best service. You do not have to sacrifice one for the other. At Alabama Home Mortgage, rate is important, but it's not everything. We strive to make the purchase and refinance process as painless as possible.
There is no one-size-fits-all mortgage. Others may lead you to believe there is, but at Alabama Home Mortgage, we take the time to listen and customize a plan to achieve your goals.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage, the number one mortgage lender in Alabama, today at 567-4223, or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. That's Alabama Home Mortgage, because there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Duvall's Landscapes is your go-to company for anything outdoors. Full-service landscaping, irrigation installation, outdoor lighting and sound systems, retaining walls, paver patios, stone and tile work, privacy fences, water features, and concrete work as well. Not to mention that Duvall's does custom outdoor fireplaces, kitchens, and living spaces just in time for barbecue season. COVID was hard on everyone, but it's time for a new year and to invest in your family's living space and create something awesome. Duvall's Landscapes will help you choose brick, stone, concrete, marble, tile, wood, or whatever you want to complete your dream design. Visit DuvallsLandscapes.com today or call 791-4108 and schedule a free on-site visit. Get your home ready for family and friends and make memories with your new outside oasis from Duvall's Landscapes. Duvall's Landscapes will make it easy for you by offering beautiful long needle straw delivered and installed for just $20 per roll or $10.50 for just the roll. Call Duvall's today at 791-4108 or visit DuvallsLandscapes.com.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
I'm doing a little dance over here. You can't see it.
I can.
And I apologize for that in advance. You are listening to the Dan Morris Show, but do not adjust your speakers. You have not lost your mind. You have April Marie Fogle here filling in today. Joey Clark keeping me out of trouble. Trying his best.
Yeah.
Randall on the line. Randall took us into break with some numerology, with some law enforcement stuff, with some... You had a lot there to unpack, Randall.
I wouldn't. Joy usually stops me. I mean, I don't sound so.
I like your voice, Randall. You know what it is? I miss all my callers. I feel like I'm and usually, you know, more people call in. So I was just gonna let you go. Okay, so I don't know anything about numerology and the numbers. We're gonna skip that part. I think you. I don't know about either the defense or the prosecution throwing it. The prosecution has put on like four witnesses in a row that have said the same thing, which is that the lack of A or not the drugs killed him, but we know for a fact, because they've already talked about it, that the prosecution has an autopsy expert who says that the drugs was a lethal dose and that some of his other symptoms was indicative of a drug overdose, not necessarily the force. I guess I'm watching this closely and I'm kind of looking at it going, well, there was an excessive force, right? I don't know that anybody could disagree that the force was excessive, but did it warrant a murder charge? I don't know. And the jury has yet to hear from the defense, and I think it's going to be interesting. I am a little scared about the national reaction to this, and I'm afraid that not enough people are getting ahead of the reaction. I don't know if putting the National Guard in Minneapolis is enough. I feel like they need to get people speaking out, leaders of the community. They need to get the president. They need to get the vice president. They need to have people saying, okay, this is what we're going to do for criminal justice reform. This is what we're going to do to address this. I don't know how else you do it that's not solution-based that can cause some of the people who would otherwise inflame tempers to back down.
Yeah, and since they are saying that he had drugs in the system, they know that, can they not say, that means his heart was probably pumping faster. So putting a knee on his neck in that situation was going to cause him to suffocate because his heart was beating faster, more times per minute than what you did a normal person. So how do we, is that something you said they'll bring up in that situation that the police weren't trained right, so in turns he actually murdered him? I mean, they could do it that way, can't they? I mean, because they didn't have the right training to see that he was on drugs, to know that his heart was beating faster, to know that he needed all of his vein that runs up, his aorta vein, to breathe and not just part of.
Randall, good to talk to you, dear. So that's one of those issues. Again, if you're looking at the details of this case, so there's a number of things at play. One is the defense has been trying to paint a picture of a crowd that was unruly, if not threatening to them. And so what the defense has been trying to say is we were dealing with multiple things happening at once here. One of those things was we had George Floyd, who they realized and recognized was showing symptoms of being on drugs. And they have what they call excited delirium, which is where you hit a point where your high is so high that you're almost feeling powerful. Your body's pumping, your heart's pumping,
yeah.
You're getting adrenaline, and so it causes you to do and say things that you wouldn't necessarily ordinarily do, and officers are trained to see this.
Right.
And so when the body cam footage actually shows the officer saying afterwards that he was on something, that they could tell he was on something, and he was saying the things that he was saying. He said, "I can't breathe," when they put him in the squad car to begin with. There's been a number of things that came out in the trial that we didn't know going into the trial. One of the things that came out in the trial that I found interesting that not a lot of people have talked about is the fact that he called his girlfriend Mama. So and she was saved into his phone as Mama. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of talk over, as he cried out for Mama, was he crying out for his mother or was he calling out for his girlfriend who had already taken him to the hospital before and recognized the drug overdose? Did he want his mother or his girlfriend? I don't know that that's that's a try, a make or break thing either way.
Right.
But I do think there is a difference between someone calling out for their girlfriend and calling out for their mother in the minds of those who would see or watch the video. I remember a lot of people saying that was a gut-wrenching moment for them. The people in the car with him have chosen not to testify. One of the gentlemen identified as a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I feel like this case could go either way. I thought that based on the fentanyl that he would, that the officer would be exonerated. But as I watch the prosecution, I'm not entirely convinced. But I do think we as a nation have to prepare for what happens either way that this happens. Red Top on the line. How goes it, Red Top?
Hey, April Marie. Welcome back down to Monkey Town.
I'm going to be down here a lot. Y'all have not even begun to hear me.
Yeah, I understand that. And you probably haven't begun to hear us either, because we got a lot of good surprises for you. You know, all this stuff about George Floyd is beside the point. Let's get straight on what the hell's going on in this world. The man passes a counterfeit $20 bill, all right? That already puts him in federal. He's already a federal felon. He's been in trouble with the law before, many times, correct?
He has. Once for holding a home invasion where he put a weapon to a pregnant woman.
Okay. Then he's a big old guy, about 6'4" or 6'5", jacked up on crystal meth and fentanyl. This is a dangerous situation. Okay, so they get him in the police car, and he didn't say he couldn't breathe. He said, "I'm claustrophobic," and he gets right out of the other door and gets on the ground. Okay, he's so damn stupid and jacked up. He's resisting arrest. All right, damn it, you don't resist arrest if you under any circumstances. You do what the officer says, and you can settle the rest in court or with your lawyer. Okay, so this man is 100% at fault for his own fate. Get real. That's the reality. He's a habitual troublemaker who has a reputation with the police. There's no wonder what happened to him happened to him. It's like the other guy who got pulled over and shot by the police who was had outstanding warrants. He should have gone to the police station, gotten a lawyer. That's what our system does. Doesn't need to go any further than that, does it, April Marie? Doesn't matter if he calls for his mama or Jesus. It's the same damn thing. He's wrong, correct?
Well, I'm not... He was not a good man. There's no... I can say that my opinion of it, based on his background and the facts of that day, is he was not a good man. The question in front of the jury is not whether or not he was a good man. The question in front of the jury is, did the officer kill him unnecessarily? And that's where you, Red Top, and I kind of agree that this was a chain of events that day that led to his death. I do not believe the officer is responsible. And that's based on the autopsy with the drugs. That's based on what was happening at that time. Now, will he be prosecuted? That, again, I've been watching this trial closely, and I'm not sure about.
No, he's not going to be prosecuted.
Let me take that back. He's currently being prosecuted. Is he going to be found guilty?
No, he's not. Just like in the rest of these cases where all these guys are felons are breaking the law, resisted arrest, got shot by the cops. That's the cop's job.
Well,
tell these bubbas, it's like putting the garbage man in jail for collecting your garbage. I'm sorry. Let's get real. Let's get a grip on what the laws are and what reality. If I have been falsely accused of something before, actually handcuffed and booked because I'm a woman telling a lie to the police, and I ended up in court with an apology from the district attorney and never made it to the judge. But I had to go through the process because this woman told some lies about me, and the police were obligated to execute the warrant. It was not the policeman's fault, and I got in no trouble for it, but this person made a lot of trouble for me. That's why I'm never getting married again, because these damn women are too much trouble. And you know what the police will do? will believe anything a woman says. And it should be a man either way. It shouldn't matter, abuse one way or the other. And the men should be able to go to the abused homes for abused spouses. Why should they not have a place to go any more than the women, April Marie?
Oh, Red Talk, we're going to disagree there. No.
Well, damn it. No, everybody wants to be equal on this planet and on this country. Let's get damn equal. Let's get men in there, too.
A women's shelter is just that, a women's shelter.
I see. But no, we're not supposed to have any difference in men and women and races anymore, are we?
Well, I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, that's not the reality we live in. Can't have it both ways, sweetheart. You take it one way or take it the other. You have the drag queens playing basketball with your women or you don't. You have them in your homeless or your view shelters or you don't. Can't have it both ways, sweetheart.
Well, my goal is to not have men playing in women's sports and not have men in domestic violence shelters that are made for women. We need common sense. All right, Red Top, we've got Donkey Lori on the line. It was good to hear. Oh, we're going to take a quick break. Donkey Lori, we will be back with you in just a minute.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The weather this time of year can be unpredictable, bringing damaging winds and even worse, power outages. At Spire, we know life doesn't stop just because the power did. Thankfully, you can depend on natural gas water heaters, stoves, and fireplaces no matter how long the power is out. And right now, get up to a $600 rebate when you switch from an electric water heater at spireenergy.com/startsaving. Now that's fuel for good.
Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Laughs, fun, and some priceless financial advice from Montgomery's premier asset preservationist. Weeknights at 6 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hi, I'm Tyson Eves with Serendipity Uniforms on the Eastern Bypass in the Promenade Shopping Center. We have been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 7 years. We use them exclusively for all our radio advertising. It is by far the biggest bang for our buck. If you want results, go with Blue Water.
Radio advertising is an investment in the success of your business. It grows traffic, creates demand, and generates more revenue. Call us and find out how. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. For a change, we have a few good days to look forward to. What a great way to start the brand new week with plenty of sunshine today. High temperature up to about 84. Clear skies, cool tonight, but not too cool. Overnight low 54. Tomorrow we'll have just about the same weather as today. Lots of sunshine, high temperature in the low to mid 80s. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms return to the forecast on Wednesday. Wednesday's high in the upper 70s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo here with Capital Tractor. Commercial landscapers need to make the most of every lawn. Kubota has the equipment that won't let you down, from the productivity-boosting Z700 mower to the reliable Kubota SVL track loader. See us today, Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Show.
The Dan Morris Show with your special guest host today, April Marie Fogle, who you can find on all things social media at April Marie. That's A-P-R-Y-L. M-A-R-I-E. Check me out there. Visit, say hi. Send me a message. I put a little Facebook post up about my radio appearance today. You can tell me you listened. Donkey Lori has been patiently waiting. How goes it?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good today.
Awesome. I'm going to try to do this without sounding like I have a speech impediment. I went from braces to retainers. So.
Oh, exciting.
I know, right?
Do you have the permanent retainers or the ones you have to put in every night or both?
Both. I have the permanent on the bottom front, but my retainers actually look like Invisalign.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to wear them like all the time for 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, I can go to just nighttime. So I'm still throughout the day trying to have conversations with people with like, you know, plastic retainers in my mouth. You know?
I'm going to tell you, wear the retainers. So I messed up. I got braces at 36, something like that. And, which I knew I needed them, but it was just getting to, I just finally got them. And then I didn't wear my retainers and had to get them again for another 6 months. And so lesson learned the hard and expensive way. You got to do it.
Well, we are soul sisters in that respect because I got braces for the first time at 40, paid $5,000 and, did not wear my retainers, and so at 50, I'll be 53 next month, at 51, right before 51, I got them again so I wouldn't lose one of my bottom teeth, and 2 years wearing them this time, and so going on 53, my teeth are straight and white, and I'm not going through that again. So, yeah, I did it twice, too, but I just wanted to add my 2 cents. I know Joey has heard this before. I was following the Derek Chauvin trial somewhat closely, and then I wasn't able to, and then now I kind of catch it when I can. But I have an opinion of my own on it, and it is that regardless of drug use or and that Floyd was not a productive member of society, we'll leave it that way, that just from all the testimony and the expert testimony that I listened to, I believe that if George Floyd were not going to be alive today, he would have passed away from something other than Derek Chauvin's knee being on his neck. I mean, I really believe, and then listening to the paramedics' testimony that, you know, when they arrived, he has already passed away, and they literally still had to ask the police officers to get off of him so that they could get him onto a stretcher and get him in the ambulance. And then listening to expert testimony that even after medically he is dead, there's no another almost 3 minutes that Derek Chauvin's knee is on his neck. And there, I mean, there's obviously no movement, no anything. I mean, there was that position to take someone down and to hold them in is not meant to be for that length of time.
Right.
And
I think that's the entire crux of the trial. The entire trial is about he would not be on trial if he had shot him. He was resisting arrest and he, you know, he was not listening, not complying. He was on these drugs and he posed a threat and was shot. I don't think we'd be having the trial now, but right. The knee to the back and or neck. And there's been some discussion over whether it was, you know, where exactly it was and how much pressure was on it. That is what the trial is about. And it's, and the question is, was the, in terms of the drugs is how much, What of it was a contributing factor, and the defense, I believe, is going to come back. And I say I believe, but they've already started this already. They're going to come in and say that if not for the drugs, he would still have made it. But you know, and intent does matter in a murder case such as this, and with the charges. But I agree with you. A law enforcement officer does not get to play judge and jury. A law enforcement officer does not get to sentence someone to death. And so I don't know that how much of the history the law enforcement officers on the scene had on the victim, but or on George Floyd. But I do know that they wouldn't get to unilaterally make the decision, even if he was a terrible, horrible, no good person, to have killed him. And so I don't envy the jury at all. But I do think that we are hearing things in this trial that didn't come out before or weren't widely covered before.
And I think, you know, this is where I haven't been able to catch it. I don't know. I'll have to research it as to whether or not the relationship between Floyd and Chauvin, you know, pre that day, you know, that they had interaction with each other. They did know each other. They, but it's just, and I'm a Back to Blue. I mean, I buy my husband Back to Blue t-shirt online. We are very pro law enforcement. But I do have to say, in this case, I believe the gentleman's going to be prosecuted. And from everything that I've seen so far, if I were on the jury, I'd hate to do it, but I would find him guilty. And, you know, maybe it's not like I set out to kill him, but because he crossed a line. Chauvin crossed a line in what he was doing, and the result, they're looking for causation. Their result is the death of George Floyd. That's my little old opinion in little old Alabama, but it's very disturbing. I mean, the more of the video and the breakdown of it and the testimony, the more you hear, the more disturbing it is. And I'm not a pro George Floyd. He was not a good man.
Pro justice.
I'm pro justice, absolutely. That's, and I, you know,
yeah. And
you have to hold into account that when he becomes lifeless,
right,
that is an indication that all three of the officers, he was still being held down by three officers. That's an indication. Why are you still on him?
I hear you. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in. Let's see. We have just enough time. Sarah, you're holding on. How's it going, Sarah?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, very nice. I just wanted to call and say that maybe we should take a moment to place ourselves into the shoes of the officers as well, seeing as he was a gigantic man. And I tried to imagine if I were in a situation like that, would I want a 6'2", however large he was, man, having the ability to stand up again and potentially attack me? You know, like, I'm sure it was excessive force, and it's never any good. But at the same time, he was a giant, and I'd be terrified.
He was, so. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Sarah. No, I think you're right. I think we have to. That's one of those situations where this is what, again, I don't envy about the jury, is they have to weigh all of these circumstances, and they see his size, and they hear from the experts, and I mean, I can read every article, but I'm not watching every, you know, and I can read the transcripts, and I can read, you know, as much as I can about the trial and watch what I can from it, but I'm not there every day, and the jury is, and we have a justice system that places an emphasis on reasonable doubt. And I think that's what, it errs on the side of not finding guilty people who are innocent. And so the prosecution has a tough case to make when looking at it. It doesn't seem as cut and dry as his knee was there an excessive amount of time, or an excessive pressure, or he didn't move soon enough. Again, the defense is making a case that the contributing factors were the people that surrounded the officers, yelling, and they felt scared by them. And so I think it's going, again, the defense hasn't had, I got to stop saying again, the defense hasn't had the opportunity to present their side yet. And I think size will come into consideration. The drugs will come into consideration. There are going to be a number of things that the defense is trying to show reasonable doubt on whether or not the officer was responsible for this death and what his intent was. Sweet D, hold the line. We're going to be right back after this next break.
The Dan Morris Show.
Why Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue. It's a block from the door.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time, and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole, 279-8919, or go to coleplumbing.com.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
The Dan Morris Show with guest host April Marie Fogel. I am the owner and publisher of AL Today. You can find me online at April Marie. That's APRYLMARIE. We have Papa B hanging on the line for us. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Papa B, you're going to have to hold your turn. I accidentally forgot Sweet D first. I'm so sorry.
No problem. Now, I will be the first person to say that George Floyd was not a good person. And the reason why I am not a police officer is because I probably would have done the same thing that Chauvin did under those circumstances. It was totally frustrating. But I will challenge anyone who's never done drugs to let someone sit on their neck with their knee compressed for 9 minutes and see if they live.
Yeah.
They're not going to live. So even though he was on drugs and he was probably set to have an overdose that day, the knee did it. It was not any of these other circumstances. Chauvin was out of order completely to do that to a human being. And that is why, like I said, I am not a police officer. Because once you get frustrated, you need to know how to de-escalate if you're going to be a police officer. I don't have that skill. Once I get upset, it's going to be escalation until somebody's probably dead. So that's why I don't surround myself with people that frustrate me. I don't deal with a lot of people. There's probably five people that I deal with in the entire world because of my temper. And if you can't control your temper, you should not be a police officer. That man was set to die. I agree 100%. He was going to kill himself eventually. It's not that day, probably in the next week. But what Chauvin did was just totally unacceptable, and it was a murder, in my opinion. Well, and I totally agree with Donkey Lori.
I appreciate you calling in, Sweet D. That is it. Would he have, and that's the jury, the question the jury has to take in. Would, and the defense is going to make the drugs an issue, but was the neck enough? Hmm. Was the pressure enough and the length of time enough to have killed him? And should a reasonable person or a reasonable officer have known that? And the point was brought up earlier that that there were both the medics on the scene that came to the scene in response to George Floyd and the person on the scene that was, I believe, a fire EMT, the woman who testified very early on in the trial. Should they have known from the quote experts that what they were doing was killing him? Hmm. And so it's one of those situations where I think it's going to come down to the defense's testimony and whether or not they're convincing. Papa B, hello.
Hey, April Marie.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, good to hear you on the air today. And, you're going to have to forgive me, but I didn't catch the first part. Where is Dan today?
He is doing all of his pre-screenings for his big surgery coming up on the 22nd.
Oh,
So he's in Birmingham.
Right. I got you. Okay. Well, this George Floyd thing is going to just, you know, open up really big, I think. You know, I don't believe there's, you know, just based on what I hear, enough evidence to convict him of murder. Manslaughter, yeah, probably, you know. But he was following guidelines and procedures. He had no way of knowing that George Floyd was, you know, on some illicit drugs. No way of truly knowing what drugs he might have been on or what effect they might have had. You know, so trying to convict him of, you know, of murder, that says intent, you know, that he intended to kill him.
That's, yes.
I don't believe that.
I believe that is the two things we're looking at here is intent. What did he intend to kill him, and was there contributing factors such as the drugs? And so, yeah, I genuinely think that's the question the jury is being posed with right now. It's not a matter of all the other contributing things going on, but did he know or should he have known that keeping his knee there would kill him? And
exactly.
And so we'll see. Thanks for calling in, Papa B.
Well, let me just say this too. It really doesn't matter unless they drag that guy out of the police officer out of the courtroom, out to the town square and hang him in public. It's not going to be enough for the out of control left. So yeah, they're going to riot, especially if they come back with something like manslaughter, or if they can't convict him at all, especially, of course, we all know that. So, you know, in fact, I think they're going to riot one way or the other, no matter what happens. So, just get ready for it. Hopefully it won't be down here, too. So, anyway. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Papa B. Rebecca, on the line. How goes it?
Good. How are you?
I'm good today.
Good. I haven't watched much of the news on this subject, but my biggest thing is did he follow procedure? Did the officer follow procedure? The fact that whether he was on drugs, off drugs, doesn't even matter to me. The cultural ways that are going nowadays with the police officers, they're more militia than they are police officers. They're not there to control anymore. They escalate. They don't calm things down. The people that were around them that I saw in the few videos that I've seen, in my opinion, every last one of them ought to be arrested.
Well,
we have a civil duty to stop things like that from happening. I understand the officers have guns and they were holding back the people, but there's a lot more people than they were officers.
Well, and that's part of what the defense is saying. The defense is saying there were a number of contributing factors that led to us having this hold, using this particular hold, as long as they did. Now, you bring up an interesting point in terms of, was this procedure? And the law enforcement officials that have testified already, two of them have said that this was not a move that he should have used or that he used it for too long. However, it has been widely reported that the Minnesota Police Department included instructions on how to use this controversial neck restraint in its training manual. And so, so did he use it properly? Did he use it too long? The testimony is saying that you use this particular move until you have control of the subject, which in this case would have been George Floyd, or the situation. And as you're saying, the part of the officer's defense is saying, well, we didn't have control of the situation because the people were yelling at us and we couldn't chance letting him up and then losing control of the entire situation. I don't know. I truly do not know whether or not he's going to be found guilty given all of these factors.
Yeah. I just hope whatever the justice that it is served out the way that it should be. Our court systems are failures. Our prison systems are failures. There is no reform. Years ago, it was you went in, you did your time for the crime that you committed. And when you got out, you were supposed to be able to reenter society. And they don't do anything. And I'm not saying it's correctional job to rehabilitate people. But when you have people in prison and you won't even let them work a job because just say they're a lifer. You won't let them work a job because they're a lifer. Well, what do you expect that prisoner to do when he's in? I mean, he's got nothing to lose, nothing at all to lose by being good or bad.
Well,
and if you don't occupy their time, you've got an issue.
We could do a whole segment. We probably should do a whole segment on criminal justice, especially in the state of Alabama, when we're looking at building these prisons. And there are advocate groups around the state who are saying that we are failing our prisoners by not giving them opportunities to reenter society in a productive and meaningful way. And maybe that is part of the solution to the violence we're seeing in big cities throughout the state. I appreciate you calling, Rebecca. We've got a bunch of people on the line. Will, we're going to get to you. Thanks for being so patient. And then everybody else on the line, hold tight, because we will continue this after the break. But Will, how's it going?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
You know, the problem with the George Floyd situation, everybody has an opinion, but what if there was somebody in your family? That's the case. I mean, what if there was somebody in your family that was healed like that?
It's unimaginable. It's absolutely unimaginable. And
people say he was on drugs, okay. Well, okay, he was on drugs and he was on this and that, but what if that was your family member healed like that?
Well, I think it goes both ways. This incident was traumatizing to everyone involved. For the family that lost George Floyd, for the witnesses, I saw where early in the trial, the young girls testified having watched this entire thing kind of unfold in front of them, and they are in fact traumatized. And the law enforcement officers who were there, I think it has changed the lives of all of them. Derek Chauvin's wife immediately divorced him.
This guy's sitting there. He was just sitting there, and it was like, dude, come on, man. What are you doing?
Well, I'm with you. In terms of him just using that, the way they were sitting on George Floyd, it's jarring to see. It is incredibly... you can't watch the video. And I remember when it first came out, before all the riots and everything and the movement that came with his death. And you watch the video and you're literally watching someone die. But the question at hand in the trial is, does that constitute a crime? And the death... There's been lots of police incidents where deaths have occurred that it wasn't considered a crime. And this is just one of those cases. Do you think there's any chance it wasn't a crime, or do you just think it was?
It was definitely a crime. But here's my issue. People on both sides are trying to start a race riot, a race war. And this is just adding fuel to the fire.